The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, from whom all good things come, lead us by the inspiration of your Spirit to think those things which are right, and by your goodness, help us to do them. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us be seated for the reading. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the 16th chapter. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia, pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, he immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and on a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 67 responsively. May God the merciful to us, be merciful to us and bless us. Show us the light of his countenance and come to us.
Let your ways be known upon earth, your saying among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad. For you judge the peoples with equity and right of all nations upon earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has brought forth her increase. May God, our own God, give us his blessing.
May God give us his blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe of him. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Second reading, a reading from the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter. And in the Spirit he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the mighty, almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination of falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb through the middle of the street. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord.
Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Aren't those encouraging, comforting words? I was away from home this last week. I was at the Synod Assembly in Riverside, and the Marriott is a very nice place to live for a while. And the activity at the Synod Assembly, the business meetings, were interesting and engaging. We re-elected Bishop Fink for another six-year term as our bishop. He was elected on the first ballot, and I was teasing Pastor Bringman at the first service. There were 22 people whose names were not read, but 22 people who received one nomination and on the first ballot. And so I told Pastor Bringman that I was sure that he was one of those people that was nominated for bishop. And Leonard Foster said, "And I saw him write his name, so I'm sure it's true." So we're happy that Bishop Fink has been reelected as our bishop for another term of office. And while I was there, I also had an opportunity to meet and greet a number of people, not only Fosters who are from our own congregation as representatives, and I got to spend some good time with them, but also people from around the Synod, about 400, 500 people who were gathered for those days. And even as engaging and as interesting and as comfortable as those days were, I was sure glad to get home on Saturday afternoon. It's just nice to get home again. You know, Dorothy spent all of her time in the Land of Oz trying to get home. And all she had to do was click her heels together a couple times and she would have been home. Just the word itself, home, it conjures up for us, or for most people, it conjures up that sense of of comfort or ease, or at least a place of knowing where you are and knowing what our surroundings are. The home that is described in the book of Revelation, that reading that we heard this morning, what a wondrous place, that home that is described in that book. A place where the risen Lord is the light, where you don't need sun and moon, you don't need chandeliers or fluorescent lights, because the light of Jesus himself is so bright, no other light is needed. A place where there is no darkness, no night. So that means a place of safety, no evil people lurking around dark corners. The gates are always open. You don't need to lock anything in. Only good people are there. Nothing is going to be disturbed from your house. That's why we lock gates, because we want to protect our stuff. The gates are always open. A place of healing, where there's no illness, no disease, no distress. A place where the trees that grow beside the river, the plants, provide healing for every trouble that we have. Imagine this place. A place where fellowship and community and worship of God are so much a part. It's natural for us. This is the place that is described as home. Isn't that a wonderful place? Wouldn't you just want to stay there? Wouldn't you just want to live there? Make that your place. Just put your feet up and sit down in that big barca lounger and stay forever. And yet, as beautiful as that picture is, our readings take us a little bit deeper, a little bit off that idea of resting and reveling and staying in that wonderful, comfortable place. Take a look at the psalm again. If you would just open your worship bulletin, I think it's on page 4. The psalm talks about a different response to that gift of God's that God has given to us. The first verse starts, "May God be merciful to us and bless us, show the light of his countenance and come to us." Now, so far, that's great. That's exactly what we're talking about. God's light and mercy and goodness just flowing out for us. But read on, verse 2. "Let your ways be known upon earth, your saving health among all nations." The psalmist is not simply reveling in the gifts of God and the health and healing of God. The psalmist is not saying, "This is a wonderful place, let's just stay here." But there's a sincere desire to spread that good news to everyone. The psalmist says that let your ways be known upon the earth and your saving health among all nations. This is a good news word for everyone, for all nations, for all people. This is good news so good that we can't hold it in. This is good news so good that we can't help but tell others about it. This is such a wonderful place to be. We have to announce to all people, to all nations, that good news. "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Jesus had made his home in Paul, and Paul was filled with God's love. We heard the reading. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. Paul was listening to God, and God had spoken and told Paul to go to Macedonia to preach. And even though Paul had other plans, he was taking a different trip. Paul dropped his plans, dropped what he was planning to do, and went to Macedonia. And this trip took him down by the river where a group of women were sitting, and he preached the good news to them, shared the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord, shared the good news that the Father and Jesus Christ, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will come and make their home in you. Jesus had made his home in Paul's heart. And now Paul, listening to that word of God, leaves his home and goes where God is leading him. He went to Macedonia. Has anybody ever been to Macedonia? In the modern world, Macedonia is part of the former Yugoslavian, those Balkan states, north of Greece. When in Paul's day, it was a little further south, what we call Greece today, part of that that continent of Europe. So Paul gets this word to go to Macedonia. This means, you know, not just, you know, like go to La Mesa. This is to go to another continent. He had to leave Asia Minor and go to Europe to take that good news. And Paul doesn't hesitate. He goes straight to Macedonia. Christy, is it true that if I were a sailor, I wouldn't be able to just sail straight to someplace? Don't you have to tack? You have to tack with the winds. So Paul says, or Luke says, that we went straight to Macedonia. This is a miracle. They had such good winds that they were able to go straight to Macedonia, a trip that took them 2 days, and on the way back it took them over five. The winds weren't quite so favorable on their way home. They went straight to Macedonia and started preaching that good news. They had favorable weather for this trip. Paul ends up on the banks of the river where he knew that there would be a group of people keeping holy the Sabbath day, trying to listen to God. And he talked to them about Jesus making his home with them. Now, think about this. Paul must have been very nervous about this preaching assignment. First of all, he has to go to a new continent, talking to foreigners. I don't know about you, but that would make me a little nervous. Preaching to foreigners about Jesus Christ, you know, not being invited by anyone other than God. Well, I guess that's a pretty good invitation. But not knowing for sure where he's going, not knowing what he's going to meet. So Paul goes to this foreign country. That'd make me nervous in itself. And then he goes to the riverside where he knows that a group of people would probably be meeting the banks of the river, a holy place where there might be an opportunity to talk to people. And who does he and his companions, who do they meet but a group of women? Now, in that culture, it's against the cultural norms, it's against the religious laws for Jewish people to have much to do with non-Jewish people. So here he is going off and talking to foreigners. Shouldn't be doing that. And he's a single man. And he's talking to women in public, my gosh, on the banks of the river on the Sabbath day, breaking all kinds of norms of society, this group of men. Now, think of how these women must have looked at them. There were at least four of them, Paul, Timothy, Silas, Luke. They come in, these itinerant preachers, And the women are just doing what they do every week, taking their day off, sitting on the riverside, having their conversation, getting their manicures or whatever they're doing on that afternoon by the riverbank. And here come these guys and they start talking to them. And God opened Lydia's heart. And she heard what Paul was saying. You know, sometimes following where God is calling you is going to take you out on a limb. Sometimes following where God is calling you is going to stretch you beyond that comfort point of what you think those norms and cultural society laws say. Sometimes following God's call and stretch and pull, you might find yourselves in a foreign country, or at least seemingly foreign. But Paul was willing to go. God put Paul in the right place at the right time, and Paul cooperated with God. And the work of the Lord was done. Paul talked to the women about Jesus making his home in them. Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. And Lydia received that word. But she didn't just take it in to herself and sit comfortable and revel in that word. Lydia immediately says, I want to be baptized, me and my family, my household, my companions. She wanted to be baptized. And then she not only opened her heart to the Lord, then she opens her house to Paul and his companions. These strange guys on the beach, she brings home. I think this is a good example, Paul and Lydia. I think this is a good example of how God uses a person's gifts for the good of the kingdom, for the spread of the gospel, for the other people to hear that good news. Now think about Lydia. She was a wealthy businesswoman. Wealthy, we know, because she was a dealer in purple cloth. I looked up on the internet about this purple cloth and where did they get this dye and why was it so expensive? Why was it so rare and why was it difficult? This was not a quick income kind of business. The dye comes from the veins of some little sea urchin. And so, and it turns purple when it's in the sun. So imagine this labor-intensive job. You have to find these little sea urchins, and then you have to get the, let's just call it dye, out of the veins of the creature, and you have to get enough of it to dye a piece of fabric. Imagine how many you would have to gather to dye even one piece of fabric. That's why purple cloth was so expensive. The royalty wore purple. In fact, there was the rule was, I guess it wouldn't have been a rule, maybe it was a cultural norm, that the upper class people had a band of purple, just a little bit of purple, on their robes to show that they were wealthy. This would be, you know, I guess it's kind of like the size of your diamond ring. The bigger your ring, the more money that someone spent on it. The wider your purple band, the more money you spent on it, because it would be very expensive. Well, Lydia dealt in purple dye. And because you wouldn't spend your purple dye on a t-shirt, you only dyed very good quality clothing or fabric, fine linen. So Lydia has this very lucrative business. She dealt in fine linen and purple dye. And she had many people, or a number of people, working with her. So Lydia is a wealthy businesswoman, and because she dealt in this kind of business, her clients would have been the upper class folks. So those are the people that she knew. Maybe some of those people were also sitting on the banks of the river that day with her. Those clients of hers may have been her friends as well, because she was had a woman of some influence. And now Lydia uses those gifts that God had given her through her business, and she puts those gifts forward for the sake of the mission, for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of the spread of the gospel. Lydia doesn't have to be asked to put her gifts, her assets, forward for the kingdom. She tells Paul what he's going to do. You're going to come to my house. You're going to stay with me. Luke says that she prevailed upon us. You know people like that, who will not take no for an answer and finally, okay, I'll just go. She insisted that they stay at her house. In fact, when later on in the story, if you would continue, turn pages and continue to read, in the Acts of the Apostles, when Paul and Silas go to jail, and they're in jail for a while, when they are released from jail and come home, they go to Lydia's house. It's the only two places in the Bible that she's mentioned. This story, and then when Paul and Silas go to her house after jail. So not only does she pick up guys on the beach and take them home, she takes the ex-cons who come and stay with her too. If those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. We can learn some lessons from Paul and from Lydia. They were each convinced that God had made a gracious, loving home in them right here and now. This was no promised glory, you know, pie in the sky in the sweet by and by. This was now. God was in them, living in them, made a home in them right now. And how they responded to that gift of inner peace and certainty, how they responded to that gift is that they placed their own gifts, their assets, their abilities, their talents at the service of the kingdom. They did what God had called them to do. They used their own particular assets and gifts for the spread of the gospel. Paul was a preacher. He used his words to tell of God's love, of Jesus Christ, that God would come and make a home in you. That's what Paul did. He went off on preaching missions, proclaiming the good news. Lydia listened. That was her gift. She listened, and she opened her heart to Paul's words, to the love that God was pouring out for her. She was baptized, and then she opened her home to Paul and his companions. When Jesus makes his home in us, we are invited to use our assets, our gifts, our talents, our time, just as Paul and Lydia did. We are invited to use those gifts to respond to Jesus for the sake of the kingdom. Now, not many of us are going to go off to Macedonia and preach. Not many of us are going to open our homes to the itinerant preachers on the beach. At least my husband would be a little upset if I would bring home four guys from the beach. But God uses whatever talents and gifts and good and abilities that we have been given, God uses those gifts for the sake of the kingdom if we just open ourselves to him. This is the good news. Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Jesus has made his home in us. We have been baptized. We have been called and claimed as the beloved children of God. God has made his home in you. And how do you respond to that good news? How do you respond to the good news that you are claimed and called? You are also sent. You are sent to tell that good news to other people. Not many of us are sent as Paul. Not many of us are even sent as Lydia. But we are all sent to tell that good news in our own way. Listen to the Word of God that is in you. Listen to how God is calling you to respond to that good news. In the reading in the Acts of the Apostles, it says that Lydia opened her heart to listen eagerly. That's a call to you as well. Open your heart to listen eagerly to the word, the good news, to the good news that Jesus Christ is already at home in you. Not everybody knows that truth. Not everybody knows the name of Jesus Christ. Not everyone knows that they are called and claimed and sent. But you know that. That's the good news, that you have been called and claimed and sent, and God has come and made his home in you. Use your gifts to help other people find their way home, to help other people realize that Jesus Christ is at home in their hearts. Amen.